Okay, so now, assuming that we don't all float away or get blown away in the meantime, only 7 days stand between us and Election Day in this historic Boston mayoral race. Early voting already begun. And last night, Boston City Councilors Michelle Wu and Anissa Asaibi George took the stage one last time in a debate that was co-sponsored by WBUR, WCVB Channel 5, the Boston Globe, and the McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies at UMass Boston. Now, full disclosure, I co-moderated, as did Boston Globe columnist Adrian Walker, and Adrian joins us now. Good afternoon, Adrian.
Hey, how are you?
All right, so you've had a day to think about it. Reactions to that last debate last night?
I thought it was a very interesting debate. I thought it was really lively, particularly in the second half, and I thought it was interesting that the big flashpoint really turned out to be the issue of mass and cast.
And why did that strike
you? The city has begun removing tents and so forth.
Yeah, sorry to talk over you. Why was that so interesting to you?
I guess I was a little bit surprised that it was just ended up being such a contentious issue. As you recall, we could barely get them off of it.
That's right. So I'm going to play a little sound from that. It seemed to really get tense when we asked about how the candidates would address the people of Quincy regarding rebuilding the Long Island Bridge. So first, here's Wu against rebuilding it.
Let's use that funding, put it quickly to supportive housing and other structures, and activate Long Island through ferry service so that we can make sure we're also building a recovery campus back on the island.
And Asaibi George went on the attack over what she called Wu's lack of urgency.
So I've got a message first from Michelle. Because she's been stuck in conversation, she doesn't truly understand the crisis that is Mass and Cass. I've spent days, nights, and overnights at Mass and Cass, and our city's residents who are unsheltered are in crisis. They need help today, not the start of a conversation.
So that's the longer term, Adrian, over this next week, especially since, as you say, things are unfolding at that intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard, where there is that complex humanitarian crisis going on. What's the policy conversation we need to see these candidates having?
Well, we need a short-term conversation about what to do about the immediate problem at Mass and Cass, as well as the longer-term conversation about whether it's viable to revive treatment services on Long Island, how it might happen, and if not, what the alternatives might look like.
So if we go back to when the bridge was shut down in 2014, do you recall the conversation then? And is any of that echoing in the debate now, Adrian?
A little bit. I mean, as you will recall, the shutdown of the bridge was quite abrupt. It literally happened on one Friday night. And, I think at that time, people didn't understand just how dire this issue was going to become. So the conversation then was not nearly as intense as it is now. But it's a problem that has gotten worse and worse over time, and much worse since the beginning of the pandemic.
So I want to add one other thing on this before we move on. This question of rebuilding the bridge. Wu said you can't get it done in a single term. Asaibi George called for a, quote, bridge hackathon, end quote, said it can absolutely be done in 4 years. Can it, and who would have to sign off on it for it to get done?
I think Wu is right that it probably can't be done in a single term. The answer to your question of who would have to sign off on it is the city of Quincy. And, they are dead set against it. They love not having a bridge. They think it's been great for traffic in Quincy, and they are really staunchly opposed to it. So at a minimum, I think you're looking at a serious court battle that would suck up a lot of the next 4 years.
All right, so I want to move on to a few other fiery moments from last night. And I'm going to focus next on Anissa Asaibi George and a question about her husband, his income, his real estate development business, which has been an issue throughout the race. You asked her about it directly last night. Just recap for our listeners what you were looking for and whether you got the answer you were looking for from Anissa Asaibi George.
What I was really looking for, I mean, the conflict fundamentally is that her husband is developing dozens of projects across the city of Boston. And, and in the process of doing that, he's dealing with city agencies and being regulated by a bunch of city agencies that report directly to the mayor. It seems to me that, A, his projects cannot be turned off overnight, and, B, this would be a constant conflict of interest for a new mayor.
All right. So that exchange led to a lot of back and forth about the two candidates, their income, their spouses' incomes, transparency on their taxes. Asaibi George has released her individual tax returns, not her husband's, whereas the Wu family released both. Here's a little sound. Ed Harding and Janet Wu, WCVB, both pressing Anissa Asaibi George about that.
Councillor Sabajor, she mentioned your tax. You have not released your tax returns?
Oh, I've released my tax returns.
You have released them.
I have.
But will you release your husband's tax returns?
Will you release
returns?
Your husband?
I've released my tax returns.
And you will never release his?
His business has been widely reported on. Feel free to check out the Boston Globe. They've shared quite a bit.
All right, there's been a great deal of conversation. So our producers, Walt Wolfman and Jack Mitchell, left that kind of pause in there so you could hear the awkwardness at the end. How unusual is a spouse's taxes as part of the conversation in a mayoral debate?
It's relatively unusual as a topic in a mayoral debate, but I mean, I think this is an unusual situation in that you have a spouse who deals constantly with city government. That's not the norm either. And to say, you know, it's been thoroughly reported in the Boston Globe might be a cute, glib line, but it really doesn't answer the question.
All right. I do want to get to at least one other thing. Transit, transportation, they have been big issues in the race with Michelle Wu entering early, even before she entered the race, you know, talking about a free MBTA. It's now a cornerstone of her campaign. Anissa Sibey-George has called that unrealistic. Last night, we tried to turn the focus to traffic alleviation, but both candidates ultimately brought the conversation back to free T. Here's a bit from both of them. Anissa Sibey-George questioning how loss of fares would affect a struggling MBTA.
When we think about the need to increase and expand services, especially for our shift workers, especially for those that are working off hours, we need greater investment in the T, not this walking away from it and calling it free, and then who pays for it?
So I'm going to stay with you.
The people of Boston will pay for it.
And then Councillor Wu arguing that free transit actually could save the T millions of dollars.
We are spending money collecting fares right now, and it is on the shoulders of our residents who can least afford it. It is playing out in racial injustices across the city, 64 hours more per year that black bus riders spend on our buses compared to their white counterparts. This is not a situation where we can sit back.
And to be thorough, part of her argument on the saving money is also faster T service if you weren't using back, if you could use the back doors and get people on and off of trains faster. So your reaction to the free T, which is a state, you know, an MBTA is not a citywide question. It's bigger, being such a major topic. And where do you think the next mayor, whichever one of them it will be, will actually focus on transit, transportation, traffic, et cetera, in the first year?
Well, it's interesting to hear Councillor Wu focusing so much of her attention and her campaign on something a mayor actually cannot do. That's quite unusual in a mayoral campaign. I am personally skeptical of the idea that what we spend on fare collection approaches what it would cost, what fares bring into the system, as she has implied, you know, $29 million to collect fares versus $30 million, you know, et cetera. So, you know, it's very, you know, I don't see in the short term that free T is something that's going to happen. Can certain bus routes be made free? They have already, that's already happened, as you know, on a pilot basis that will probably continue. So I think, you know, to some extent, yes, this is doable.
Okay, so one more sort of place of sparks. There were a few others, but the other one we'll touch on, Boston Planning and Development Agency, which was part of a larger conversation. Sibey-George opposes Wu's plan to essentially abolish it. Here is Wu making her case.
When we abolish the BPDA, we stop development in this city. We stop opportunities for growth. We stop opportunities for investment, for workforce development, and for more affordable housing in our city. There is no misunderstanding the term abolish.
So I have done so much mayoral stuff that I can clearly tell you that is Anissa Sibey-George and not Michelle Wu there. We had two cuts there. We wound up playing a Sibey-George second, and that's where she was pushing back on this idea of getting rid of the BPDA. So let's go back now and pick up Michelle Wu making her case.
The surest way to stop development in Boston, to halt everything, is to keep doing what we're doing, to ignore the impacts of climate change and flooding, to continue ignoring the need for transportation infrastructure and affordability. The structures of the BPDA and our process as it currently stands is making Boston less affordable, is pushing people out.
So I welcome you to react both to those arguments and can Councillor Wu abolish the BPDA?
Well, to start with the second question first, no, she can't. And the idea that the fastest way to stop development is to keep the BPDA is absurd. We have a BPDA and we have development going on all over the city. So just as a matter of common sense, that's not true. There may be arguments. You know, it seems to me that if you want to reform the process of development and zoning in the city, which is probably a good idea, there are many ways to do it. As a mayor who controls the BPDA, I don't understand the zeal to abolish it altogether.
Okay, and last question for you. You know the polling. Double-digit lead for Wu over Asaibe George among likely voters in a number of polls. Is there a path to close that gap?
I really don't think there is. I mean, you know, Asaibe George got 24,000 votes in September, which is less than half of what she would need probably next Tuesday. I just don't see where she gets 30 to 35,000 more votes in the city.
All right, Boston.
I don't understand where they come from, especially when you look at the low number of undecided voters.
All right, Boston Globe columnist Adrian Walker, thanks so much.
Thank you.